You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Very good morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Friday edition, Friday the 13th. Yeah, for all you superstitious people. And I'm kind of superstitious, right? I don't go out of my way to tempt the cosmic forces of the universe. So anyway, good morning to you here on a Friday morning. What is it? 12 days till Christmas, so got that going for you. My oldest son had been up in North Dakota. Yeah, he'd been living the sub-zero weather. He left, though. Headed to Camp Lejeune. Yeah. Johnny boy, and my daughter-in-law Susie, and my grandson Finn. So I think they got home last night. The big news, right? The House, what is it? Judiciary Committee, whatever that was, referred charges of impeachment. So that's in the news. Just a few minutes ago. Within the last 30 minutes, the Chinese held a press conference, and they announced that they have come to an agreement with the United States, and it's phase one of a deal. Now, here's the problem with phase one of a deal. A lot of times, you never get to phase two or phase three or phase four. Right. United States and China have agreed to an initial trade deal that will result in a reduction of tariffs and purchases of American farm goods, marking a significant de-escalation of the 19-month-old trade battle that has rattled the world's economy. Quote, "We have agreed to a very large phase one deal with China," President Trump said in a tweet less than 30 minutes ago. "They have agreed to many structural changes and massive purchases of American agricultural products, energy, and manufactured goods, plus much more." the President said the United States would reduce overall tariffs, would reduce its overall tariff rate on Chinese goods to 7.5%, down from the current rate of 25%, and that a round of tariffs scheduled for Sunday would be canceled. Wang Xuwen, China's Vice Commerce Minister, said at a news conference in Beijing that the two sides had made significant progress and that the agreement would result in the United States removing some of the tariffs it has placed on $360 billion worth of Chinese goods. Those tariffs would come off phase by phase, and the United States would agree to exempt more Chinese products from being taxed, he said. This will create better conditions for China and the United States. The agreement includes a commitment by Beijing, okay, cue the rim shot, to buy more agricultural products, which they need, right, and to strengthen laws protecting foreign companies operating in China, as well as beefing up intellectual property rules and providing more transparency around currency movements. Now, let me tell you, right, those are pledges. Those are pledges, right? And pledges tend to be worth not so much. Now, I just want to play. I found a little thing that the Wall Street Journal put up, and the Wall Street Journal does good stuff. So I wanted to share this with you. And you know, all the Wall Street Journal content is locked up, so you can read the first couple paragraphs or something, and then you get nothing. So this is kind of a little interesting piece of video that the Wall Street Journal put out.
China has never been an easy game for foreign businesses to play. Companies have complained about a tightly controlled market and what they regard as protectionist regulations. There have also been complaints about inadequate protection of intellectual property, or IP, as well as forced transfers of know-how.
China, which is a first-world country now.
This is Larry Kudlow right here.
Let's play by the rules. We can't allow them to steal our technology.
Though Beijing denies it forces companies to divulge secrets, this has been one of the sticking points during trade negotiations. But recently,
this is Xi Jinping, the president of China. Yeah, just so you know. I know you probably did not recognize his voice. And what he's saying is China is going to make moves within its economy to be more market-oriented, to be more law-based and internationalized.
With hopes for a partial deal on the horizon, Beijing has been playing nice, emphasizing its message that it's working hard to improve its business environment. This is something foreign companies operating in China have been eager to see. But is this really going to change the game? Starting next year, China pledges to put overseas companies on more equal footing with local players with a new set of regulations. In January, a new law governing foreign investment kicks in. It promises to do more to protect overseas companies' technology and know-how.
Foreign investment law does have a positive impact.
This is Jake Parker, the senior vice president of the U.S.-China Business Council right here.
On U.S. companies.
Jake Parker is a senior vice president of the U.S.-China Business Council, a lobby group of some 200 American companies that do business in China. In October, the council received a draft of the guidelines on how the law will actually work. In general, they liked what they saw. Chinese officials will be banned from forcing technology transfers. The guidelines will also limit the disclosure of trade secrets when going through China's administrative review process.
However, at least on IP, the draft does fall short on specifying the types of disclosures of trade secrets that will be prohibited and clarifying the types of administrative groups within China's government to which provisions of technology transfer apply.
At the same time, China is also rolling out.
So you can see, right, if there's a doorway, they'll go through it, okay?
Regulations that will open up its financial sector.
The banks and all of the financial services companies will be very, very happy with what we've been able to get.
Starting next year.
Now, let me tell you the problem for the Chinese. How do Chinese companies, compete with American companies that have been doing this for a century? How do they compete? How do they compete with, you know, with GM, with Ford, with these major American auto companies? Is China now going to become the consumer, and their own companies going to be absorbed by American businesses? So you can see the perils of coming into the, you know, it's no longer a third world country, right? Well, it's grown like that through its own protectionist and predatory trade practices. So is China going to give that up and watch those industries die as the capitalist giants of the planet come in and destroy them? So, interesting stuff.
Foreigners should be able to freely invest in futures, securities, and life insurance.
The trick is to wait and see if these implementations and liberalizations lead to specific licenses for member companies. And there's always a disconnect between an opening of a sector and a company being able to operate there.
These steps won't...
Okay, did you hear the phraseology? The opening of a sector. Opening means rhetoric, okay? And being able to operate means we can go in and compete, we can offer our products, we're there on an equal footing, blah, 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 blah. So the term globalization doesn't get used when somebody, right, opens a sector. It gets used when you're allowed to operate economically in that sector freely, like any other company would.
Won't only level the playing field for foreign and domestic companies, but could also end up helping China achieve its own development goals. Beijing wants to hit a target of doubling its GDP between 2010 and 2020. That will not be an easy task with economic growth cooling and a trade war stretching deep into a second year.
Foreign investment remains an important mix in China's economic system, and they would like to ensure that foreign companies continue to invest there.
While the new investment law is welcome, analysts say these new business regulations don't mean a shift away from China's direct investment in its domestic companies or looser control of its planned economic goals. In late October, China set up a state-backed fund for its semiconductor industry. The war chest is around $29 billion. That's about $9 billion bigger than a similar fund that was raised in 2014. That's part of an attempt by Beijing to make its key industries more self-sufficient and competitive in the long run.
Xi Jinping again. China will continue to open its markets.
China's new regulations
in case you don't understand Chinese.
Promise a sweeping overhaul of its older practices, and this could affect corporate titans as well as smaller businesses.
China is going to focus on the economic reform priorities that make sense for their own domestic economy. And in many ways, those align with some of the priorities of the foreign business community.
However,
and in many ways, they do not.
Some companies are waiting to see just how sincere Beijing is about opening up.
Because they're smart?
At least for now, the opening up is a win-win for Beijing. It extends a political olive branch to the U.S. during contentious trade talks, while potentially bringing foreign money and expertise into its economy.
From the Wall Street Journal, no less. So I thought I'd share that with you. Pretty good little synopsis of the challenge. Now, I can hear President Reagan, right? Trust but verify. Okay. Now, the whole process of these tariffs coming off, they come off in a phase-by-phase approach. And I would think what that means, right, is that as the Chinese do this, we scale it back to that. So, anyway, so, you know, big news for the economy, for the world's economy, I might add. So that in the news this morning, and there's some other stuff. I, on the heels of my discussion with Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch yesterday, I started reading. You know, let me just tell you, between writing books and doing accounting and stuff. It's been a while since I've had an evening to where I had time to read, but I did last night. I went to Target after I came home. I worked out and I said, I'm gonna read, and I hear these are the things I'm reading. Really, you know, so Timmy got me thinking about the chronology of Iraq or of Afghanistan. So the Council on Foreign Relations put out this thing called the U.S. War in Afghanistan, 1999 to 2019, right? So, yeah, 1999, what's what? Right? Remember the Northern Alliance when they were fighting the Taliban? Anyhow, so it kind of walks through the timeline of our misadventures and missteps in Afghanistan. I also downloaded something called the Neocon Strategy. And so these are academic papers. Yeah, with footnotes and everything. Not something that you would see in a magazine. So they're long. I don't know how many pages this one is, from page 374 in this journal to page umpty frats. What page is this? 383. So I don't know what it's about. The whole thing is about 11 pages. And then there's another one on the from the Strategic Studies Quarterly, called The Transformation of the War in Afghanistan. So, anyway, so I had a little chance to read last night. The neocon thing is, you know, is pretty amazing to read, the intellectual underpinnings of the of neoconservatism. And it has to do with the United States being a lone superpower. Right. It has to do with American exceptionalism and the confluence of those two ideas, right, after the fall of the Soviet Union, that would allow the United States as a lone superpower to essentially take the terms and to act so as to never have another peer again. Right. So, and on the top of the list of that was the axis of evil, right? North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. And so, anyway. So at some point I'll bring some people on and we'll talk about that. Cause I think it's an interesting historical, event. Because what you should see when you see Iraq and the instability, in the Middle East that we unleashed, over the top of that, you should see the word stenciled, neoconservatism. Yeah, and that was their vision. And you look at it, and I can recall General Zinni saying at the time, "I don't know what planet they're on." Right. So anyway, so I'm doing a little bit of reading. A couple things that I would recommend to you from the All Marine Radio, not archives, but our podcast page. If you haven't heard them this week, really cool interview. Well, the thing with Lynch Kinney yesterday is awesome. The interview with Mike Etor is awesome. Okay? And if you missed the interview I did on Monday with Emma, listen to that, right? Domestic violence, alcoholism, a broke home, not a broken home, but it was broke, right? An abbreviated childhood and then suicide in her life. So, Emma, another post-traumatic winner. So, and then Chris Woodbridge is in there too, talking about General Berger's force design and whatnot. So, anyhow, pretty cool week on All Marine Radio here. So cool stuff. Anyway, good morning to you on this Friday morning, the 13th. I hope you're able to function throughout the course of the day. It's Friday, right? Whitney Houston. The chef's going to join us today, too. How about that? So it's going to be interesting stuff. The story that, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a college student murdered in New York City. And according to the Associated Press, a 13-year-old boy has been arrested for her murder. Unbelievable. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. Dedicated to who would I dedicate this to this week? This is dedicated to my accountant that I'm going to talk to you later today, and hopefully the final phase of getting things ready for hopefully what will be a great year for post-traumatic winning in 2019. So let's dedicate it to that dude.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, it is raining in 37 in Quantico, cloudy in 56 at Camp Lejeune, 29 Palms, sunny and 50 degrees, Camp Pendleton, sun and 54, in Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 73, so Hawaii's warmed up. In Okinawa, cooled off considerably. Yeah. Clear, dark, and 60 right now. In Afghanistan, got even colder. Early in the evening, clear, dark, and 44 in Helmand Province. In Al Anbar Province of western Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 56. At the home of All Marine Radio, it's foggy in 56. Four weather warnings in effect. Yeah, what's up with that? Now what? Watch. Three of them will be ocean related. Gale warning from noon on Saturday until 3 o'clock on Sunday. A marine weather statement from noon on Friday. High surf advisory and small craft advisory. Normally that means, right, some wind in the area along with some other stuff. So, but it says fog today. 10% chance of rain, 20% chance tonight, 20 tomorrow, 10 and 10. So it's not raining in California. Yeah. But it's evidently going to be windy. So we shall see. All right. I got a bunch of news to talk about. So don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
How could it have taken me so long?
So blue.
I have my head other places.
Just thinking.
Accounting. My website.
Decorations are red on a green Christmas tree. Won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me.
Elvis. One of my favorites, though. Got to tell you that. Blue Christmas. Okay, I forgot to do shithole weather again. So I've got to go back and do shithole weather. Okay, so because it's becoming a bigger part of the show than I ever anticipated with it. Give me a second, I gotta cue the music. Here you go. Alright. This is from Chris, right? Chris used to weigh 500 pounds. He sent me a picture from the scale this morning. 236.0. That's right, that would be in pounds. Good morning, sir. Part of weight loss is accountability. You mentioned the Jenga reminder yesterday. I like the visual and the reward effect. Weekends are a different challenge with weight loss. Have a great weekend, sir. Chris. Yeah, I talked about... Chris kind of inspired me through his... he's a quality assurance guy, right? So he inspired me. Like, I'm like... to come up with a visual system of weight loss, okay? Which motivates me. I can tell you that because I was thinking about it last night. So what I did was, in addition to, Chris says get on the scale every day and log your weight, right? That's how you become aware of it, okay? Which makes sense, right? Things we all know. But Chris is a quality assurance guy, so you got to take it to the bank. And then I thought, I did that, and it was like, you know, you get geeked. So the color code is red when it goes up, black when it goes sideways, and green when it goes down. So I thought, well, I've learned in post-traumatic winning, I've learned the power of visual representation, right? And now I think about this. A guy came up to me in Mankato and told me, that listening to me last year when I was up there inspired him to lose 44 pounds. What? I didn't even talk about weight loss. What the hell? But anyway, that's beside the point. So I thought, what do I have? What kind of building block things can I stick in my bathroom or someplace where I'll see it? And I thought, I have those stupid Jenga things, right? Those little wooden things. So I stacked them up. And put weights on them, right? So anyway. And then one of the highlights of the day now is to deep six a Jenga block. Yeah. Or two on some days. How about that? Yeah. That's the deal, man. So anyway. All right. He continues to ski. Chris, formerly 500, now 235. Shithole weather is expeditionary in Massachusetts. Wachusett Mountain in Princeton, Massachusetts. 24 degrees Fahrenheit, looking for a high of 27. Winds are going to be normal, whatever the hell that means. Skies are partly cloudy. Rain coming over the weekend. And there's a picture of what looks like a ski lodge in Massachusetts. Yeah, they have those there. That's right, Flatland, Massachusetts. From Saskatchewan, where the temperatures were double digits below zero. Good morning, Mac. From Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, which we all know is a couple hundred miles north of Minot, North Dakota. And since nobody knows where Minot is halfway in North Dakota to the center. It's in the center of the state, in the upper third of the state. It's really farther than halfway. Devil's Lake is probably about halfway. Minot's about another 100 miles west. But don't let that distract you, okay? Churchbridge, about 200 miles north of that area. Anyway, fresh snow overnight on top of icy town streets, which is not a good mix. It's a terrible mix. Yeah, that's what happens when you get snow, you get rising temperatures, right, and a little water, and then the temperature falls. You have ice under snow, which isn't good, because most people assume under snow is dry roads. And what do? Oh, dry road, I can go fast, even if there is a little light snow on it. That's always a bad thing. Anyway, skies are clearing in Churchbridge. 3 degrees above with winds out of the north at 10 miles an hour. Afternoon high is going to be 1 degree above zero. Winds out of the northwest at 12, creating wind chills of 18 degrees below zero. By Saturday, the cold returns with a high tomorrow of 26 degrees below zero and a wind chill of minus 43. Yeah. Hey, it keeps the riffraff out. No homeless sleeping on the streets in Churchbridge, I can tell you that. From Vacaville. Vacaville, man's been gone, man. Happy Friday. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California. 48 degrees. About a tenth of an inch of rain is expected. Winds out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Looking for a high of 57. And he sent me another picture of the gas station, of a Texaco gas station that flies a gigantic American flag. Nancy from Pleasantville. It's a seasonal 32 degrees, up to 40. Yeah, right. Down to 37 overnight. Winds out of the south-southeast at 8 and light. Erie is partly sunny at 36, heading all the way up to 42 and then down to 37 overnight. Winds will be out of the south at 14. Here's today's local picture, and one from North Erie Insurance Arena. How about that? There's Erie. Erie's still pretty green. There's no snow on the ground or anything like that. So that which you might think you would see in Pennsylvania, it is not there yet. So there you have it, my shithole weather. from Stars and Stripes headlines. Service members will see an increase in housing and basic pay allowance. Housing's going to go up 2.8%, and basic pay will go up 3.1%. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, so what I did was I took a sergeant's pay, so about $2,800 a month, right? E5 with, I don't know, 10 years in the military. Okay, now most people make sergeant before that, but whatever, that's what I took to illustrate it. So if you have $2,000 a month as a sergeant, as a basic allowance for housing, BAH, that's going to go up $40 under this plan. If you're making $2,800 a month, right, with a 3.1% pay increase, you will see an increase of approximately $90 a month. So roll them both together, an extra $130 a month. That's right. That's right. So, a basic subsistence allowance rate will also increase 0.9%. That's BAS. So, anyway, all that, right? What a great deal. Let's join. Centers demand a VA crackdown on unqualified doctors. A bipartisan group of senators on Thursday introduced a bill requiring the VA to better vet their health care providers after a report by a federal watchdog found the department has a track record of hiring unqualified doctors. You know, part of the narrative that you can't really talk about relative to the VA is this storyline right here. Okay? Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't, you know, why doesn't it work? Oh, I don't care what kind of program you have. You know, and Jeff Kenny said this yesterday relative to, you know, ethics. If you don't have good people that have a moral compass, that aren't afraid to do the right thing, it doesn't matter what system you stand for, they're not going to work. Well, let me plug that logic, that brilliant logic of Jeff Kenny, into the veterans system and plug it into the VA. Who's going to go work long, 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 long hours for low pay? Let me give you the answer to that. The people that don't have another option. Doesn't make them bad human beings. It means they don't have another option. Why don't they have another option? Well, you should investigate that and find out. Yeah. The bill, which was introduced by Maggie Hassan, who's a Democrat from New Hampshire, Senator Jody Ernst, who's a former United States Army officer, and Kristen Sinema, who's a Democrat who won John McCain's seat, and then Martha McSally was then appointed to the other guys, whoever that other person who became something else. It's called the Veterans Health Administration Caregiver Retention and Eligibility Determination Act. It would require the VA to improve guidance and policies on the hiring and credentialing process and audit all providers with questionable records and determine whether those employees are still eligible. Now, we're talking about employees, not that they're participating in, like, outsourcing VA. We're talking about people that got hired. The GAO study found the department, quote, overlooked or missed disqualifying information when hiring healthcare providers. Now, how about this? How about if they didn't? How about if they know they have so many gaps in hiring that they overlook that stuff on purpose because having somebody in that spot is better than having nobody in that spot? One example of the VA, of the GAO's report from February found a physician who surrendered his physical therapy license for not completing continuing education. The VA said it found no concerns with its work performance, according to the report. In another case, the GAO found a nurse who had been working in the VA since 2003, had her nursing license revoked in one state after not completing her required training. However, the nurse continued her employment at the VA because the department found she had a license in another state. There's a reason people get licensed, okay? And there's a reason that people who don't stay current lose those licenses. But that, I guess, doesn't apply to the VA. Anyway, yeah, and so you wonder why people have problems, and you don't think those problems exist in the mental health system. Yeah, you should go look that up. Headline. Stars and Stripes, Okinawa prosecutors dismiss a charge against a Marine pilot at fault in a 2016 Osprey crash. Now, let me just tell you, the crash was a controlled event into the water. After the Osprey, and this is off the coast of Japan, it clipped during night aerial refueling the basket and hose, and caused damage to the Osprey. The thing then limped for 18 miles back to Okinawa, and the pilot put the aircraft down into the sea rather than fly over a residential area to reach Marine Corps Air Station Futima. So the Japanese charged him with negligence. Ultimately, you would think that they would be happy because he didn't overfly a civilian area. So charges were dropped. The Saudi military is cooperating with cooperating with Pensacola mass shooting investigation. Flight students have been grounded. Some remain restricted to base. The Saudi Arabian commanding officer of the Saudi students decided to restrict the students who were acquaintances of the killer, according to Chief Pentagon spokesman Jonathan Hoffman. About 162 Saudi students in Pensacola are under no restrictions but are grounded and limited to classroom instruction. The stand-down to classroom training is restricted to the Saudi students in the country at this time. While the dozen Saudi students are banned from leaving the base, they do have access to instruction, food, and medical staff. Now, these are Saudi students that are part of the investigation. So, again, we continue to watch that. And, again, I mean, after a week, they don't know. They know. All right. The Marine Corps warns Marines to maintain vigilance in the wake of shootings on a Navy base. Quote, protection of personnel and assets from unpredictable acts of violence is one of the most complex challenges for the Marine Corps, a new MAR admin message said. Quote, the intent to harm our personnel can take many forms, vehicle ramming, edged weapon attacks, knives or stuff like that, active shooter events. Enhanced vigilance must go hand in hand with rapid reporting of suspicious activity. The MAR admin directed Marines to report any suspicious activity to the local Eagle Eyes phone number online, and there's a website. Marine leaders should continuously assess the local security posture, promote an increase in vigilance and security awareness, and reinforce emphasis on reporting suspicious activity. Is that the appropriate blah, blah, blah that goes with an event like that? Yeah, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to arm more people. Next story. Are the Afghan forces beating the Taliban in 2019? The Pentagon won't say. So there was a Pentagon briefing yesterday. Another bloody year of fighting in Afghanistan is almost in the books as peace negotiations between the U.S. and the Taliban seek to end America's longest war. But the Pentagon won't provide any metrics to highlight whether Afghan forces made any battlefield progress in their fight against the Taliban or other militants across the country in 2019. Quote, I'm not going to get into specifics with respect to the metrics, Rear Admiral William Byrne, Jr., Vice Director of the Joint Chiefs, told reporters during a Pentagon briefing on Thursday. Byrne told reporters that Army General Austin Miller, the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, was satisfied with the current force posture to carry out counterterrorism and advising missions. Byrne's response came following a question from a reporter regarding battlefield progress made by Afghan forces in 2019. Jonathan Hoffman, the chief spokesman for the Pentagon, highlighted the September Afghan elections that were carried out relatively violence-free as evidence of success for Afghan security forces in 2019. The number of major attacks during the Afghan elections were minimal, Hoffman explained. Afghan forces were able to deploy and provide that security for the Afghan people, he said. And again, rosy metrics in the aftermath. Of the Afghan papers, right, are going nowhere. John Garofano, who advised Marines in Helmand in 2011, said during a 2015 government interview that a lot of effort was put into producing color-coded charts that showed the war was moving in the right direction, and no one questioned the credibility of the information or whether it was helpful, according to the Washington Post. They had a really expensive machine that would print out really large pieces of paper like a print shop, he said in a 2015 interview, according to the Washington Post. There would be a caveat that these are not actually scientific figures. This is not a scientific process behind this. Those were called stoplight charts, right? Red, yellow, green, and maybe amber if it was appropriate. Okay, so this province in these sectors, governance, right, infrastructure, what else? Security. So and the commander provided that. So that's where a lot of that data came from. It was the assessment of the commanding officer. Now, I don't know too many commanding officers that lied about that. Right? How scientific is it? Good question. The commander's opinion relative to that. This story, do you remember this incident? Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, currently serving a life sentence without parole at Fort Leavenworth, pled guilty to killing 16 Afghans in Kandahar province. And the chef is killing me, man. In Kandahar province. And he went out, he killed four people, and he went back to his base, and he got more ammunition, and he went out and killed another 14. The majority of these were villagers from nearby villages. The victims were men, women, and mostly children. Now, an organization, having seen the pardons that have been given, is now looking at trying to get him pardoned. Because he evidently didn't get a fair trial, and he evidently got his rights violated as well. So, and let me tell you what's at work here. What's at work here is, let's elevate this to the national spotlight, and then hopefully the president will act. All right, next headline. Congress wants a full report on what Marines are doing in the Pacific. Now, we've talked about this, right? This is by Gina Harkins at military.com, this story. So we talked about the Marine Corps, its changing posture in the Pacific, blah, 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 blah. The Marine Corps is undergoing big shifts as it sets its sight on China as a potential adversary, and Congress wants to be sure the service is equipped to take on multiple threats in the region. So the Congress has asked the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, right, for a report on the plans for Marines in Japan, Guam, Hawaii, Australia, and other locations throughout the Asia-Pacific region. The report would detail how the Marine Corps plans match the national defense strategy. So that's what we talked about. So the sixth step in troop leading, it's called supervise. All right, so the Marine Corps is talking about all this nonsense. What is really going to happen? The Marines and Army are developing longer range rockets. Congress wants the details. Okay, so we've heard about longer range precision fires for both the Army and the Marine Corps are going to be required, right, on future battlefields. Okay, and from General Berger, the Commandant of the Marine Corps. Quote, we must possess the ability to turn maritime spaces into barriers so we can attack an adversary's sea lines of communication while defending our own in support of the fleet or joint forces, Berger wrote this planning guidance. The goal requires ground-based, long-range precision fires with no less than 350 nautical mile ranges, with even greater ranges desired. So, Secretary of Defense will give another report about that. All right, another couple more stories, and then we'll take a break, and then the chef's going to join us. Turkey and Russia are very close to a second deal for the S-400 system, according to defense industry officials. So the base in Incirlik, you can kiss that thing goodbye. Okay, so as Turkey clearly leaves NATO's orbit and the orbit of the United States and moves to this, whatever it is, independent Islamic State with this cozy relationship with Russia, then clearly it leaves the sphere of the United States and NATO. And so be it, if that's the case. There's other places that would love to have NATO forces. And so pack up our shit from Incirlik. And we'll go someplace else. All right. More of Almarine Radio coming up next. The chef. Yeah, the chef. Think about that. Going to join us for the first time in, what, 3 or 4 weeks? So anyway, we'll catch up with Kim and find out what's going on. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of Almarine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.